Ryan Rashog joins us. Shogger, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm trying to Google it here quickly, but I don't know how to spell it either. So I imagine it's a nice shiny garage floor.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. Yes, it's great for street hockey.
Yeah, exactly. My old neighbor Lincoln lived across the street from our old place. He had the most pristine garage ever. Like I would have fed my children off of his garage floor.
Oh, I know.
And he had all of the cupboards and everything were immaculate. Everything had a place. He had so much stuff, but it was just all so immaculate. And in my garage, it looked like a windstorm blown through it. You know, like once a week, it was just stuff everywhere. And I feel bad for him. I enjoyed sitting on my front step, looking across at his pristine garage, and he had to sit on his and look at my garbage dump. So I always felt bad for that.
Well, it's tough, but it's funny, guys who and the people that are going to bid on this are guys who really, they want to take care of their garage. And you're right.
Yep.
It's one where, that's the guy who his garage is like his mecca.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like his room, bed's never made, but his garage, like all his tools are organized all the time. You know, that guy, which is great. I have ultimate respect for them. So they would appreciate this type of package for sure.
For sure. And I'm better in my new place. Like my garage is actually in decent shape. I got a buddy who in his garage, he's got a gym. He's got full couch, big screen projector set up the whole, it's basically like an extension of his house. And it's just an unbelievable setup in there. Some guys it's like a whole nother room, never mind a man den downstairs. It's just like a whole other opportunity to just create awesome space.
Shogger, we had Matt Laughlin on earlier talking about the New Jersey Devils. So that's another team now that gets into the head coaching search, right? You've got Buffalo, you've got Toronto, you've got Edmonton, you've got San Jose, of course, you've got
really?
Philadelphia. And I do think that New Jersey's in, and Boston is kind of, we're waiting to see what happens. Don Sweeney, maybe he keeps Claude Julien. Maybe he wants to go outside the organization, hire his own guy. We'll see what happens. But it just adds more competition to what is a pretty good coaching pool right now. I'm hearing from a source that Todd McClellan, won't make any sort of decision until after the Worlds. Are you hearing the same?
Yeah, I can't see him accepting a head coaching job in the middle of the World Championships. I could see him verbally agreeing to it, and with the agreement that they would make an announcement afterwards. I don't think he can let an opportunity come and go, but I could see them doing their best to keep it quiet and not announce anything until after the fact. So it wouldn't surprise me if immediately after something isn't done, but I don't think you'll hear anything about it. Both sides will probably try and keep it real quiet. So, I mean, that makes sense, but I don't think that he's just going to let opportunity come and go because he's busy at the Worlds. He's got a career and his family life to think about too. So, but there are a lot of suitors and there are some big names out there, and teams are going to have to act fast if they don't want to be stuck on the dance floor on their own, because once McClellan goes and once Babcock goes or stays, we got to sort out what's happening with guys like Julien and Tippett and Hitchcock, but there's a few big fish and you just don't want to be left waiting. You got to make your best pitch early, quickly, and have a game plan in place. And I'm assuming the Oilers do.
Yeah, I would think so. I'm very curious. What are you hearing out of St. Louis?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it's the same thing that everybody's hearing. Like Ken Hitchcock, I think maybe not as much as he was earlier on in his career, but Ken Hitchcock is one of those guys with the short stay label, right? He's not a guy you want to have be your head coach or your core group for 7 straight years. So he's not necessarily that coach. So he's had a few years with this good team, and they've had trouble succeeding to the level that they probably should. And being a short stay type coach, all signs point to them potentially moving on. I don't know the relationship between he and Doug Armstrong. I'm not sure. I know they've worked together lots in the past, and they've been together for a while now, so I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but it wouldn't surprise me if he moves on. I just don't know that it's a slam dunk that he ends up, never mind Babcock or McClellan, I don't know it was ever a slam dunk that the Oilers would have been all over Ken Hitchcock to come coach their team.
I agree with you on that.
People thought that, and I wasn't ever really convinced on that, and that's that's nothing against Hitch, and he's a, you know, he's a good Sherwood Park coach, and coached in Kamloops, and so I mean you certainly, you know, you like the guy. He's always been nice. I just don't know that he's the right fit for what the Oilers have going on right now.
I'm very curious to see how it plays out, and I still think that, you know, teams will wait to see when Mike Babcock makes his decision, which likely will come one way or the other within the next week to 10 days.
Yeah, and Mike's kind of holding all the cards right now until he decides what he wants to do. Now, do you know the contract situation with him in Detroit? Like, when is he officially able to start talking to other teams? Like, let's say Detroit got grumpy and they decided to really, you know, when's the latest he can start talking to teams?
Well, if Detroit doesn't want to grant him permission, then it wouldn't be until he wouldn't be able to talk legally until July 1st.
Yeah, so I mean that's really
I don't see that happening. I don't see Detroit doing something like that. I could see Detroit saying maybe they try to get compensation no different than, oh, you want to talk to our guy before the end of his contract? Well, you're gonna have to give us compensation like you would for a player.
Yeah, the NHL they gotta dial in all this compensation garbage. I'm getting a little bit tired of this notion. I mean, that was not what the rule was put in place for, right? The rule was put in place so that if the Edmonton Oilers go and hire the Toronto Maple Leafs assistant coach, who's still got 2 years left on his deal, to be their new head coach, or they go hire the Toronto Maple Leafs assistant general manager to come in and be their general manager, and he's got 2 years left on his deal, that's where the compensation should be owed. That makes sense. And Brian Burke was a big proponent of this a few years ago. He said, look, it's just as important to groom coaches, to groom scouts, to groom front office staff. It's just as important to groom those types of people as it is at times to groom the proper players. So if I put time and energy into teaching whoever, Brad Treliving, how to be a good general manager, someone else comes and steals them from me, I want to be compensated.
Yeah,
that's where it makes sense. This garbage about a team fires a guy and then he's still under contract, which they're going to have to pay unless someone else hires him. Like, the whole idea that the Oilers could owe Boston something for Chiarelli is ridiculous.
I agree.
They fired him. Mm-hmm. There is no point to that.
Yeah.
And there's no law. That loophole needs to be zipped up real fast because it's ridiculous.
Won't get an argument from me on that one for sure. I believe if you, people are saying, well, he'll know their draft strategy. Well, he's not going to steal all their draft notes. That would be theft. It's property of Boston, right? So, sure, he might have.
Don't fire your guy right before the draft then. Tough luck. Like, I mean, it's like when you see a general manager get hired, let's say a team goes and grabs an assistant general manager and brings him in as their GM, right? Well, and it's more, I don't know that it ever really happens, but it'll be a situation where, well, he's not allowed to be at the draft table. He's not allowed to run that draft. I think that's even happened. When has that happened recently?
Chiarelli with Ottawa to Boston, remember?
So he wasn't allowed to run the draft table for Boston. Well, he didn't officially start with the organization until after.
Yeah, but he was hired. He was hired in June, if you recall. Actually, I think it was late May. But yeah, there was.
But his start date was middle of July, I think, 13th or 15th or something.
And
like
I think you and I both know. I would say zero. Like, what was the NHL going to do? Monitor his cell phone so he wasn't talking to them? Like, that was a big farce,
for
too.
Sure. But he's not working the phones. He's not at the table. He's not, you know. Those sorts of things I can understand. But if the Boston Bruins are worried that Peter Chiarelli's going to know their draft strategy, well, that's the risk you take in firing and signing a guy to more than 1 year at a time, right? So if you give him a 4-year deal and decide you want to fire him after two, well, that's kind of tough luck. I don't know why another team should have to give you compensation because you cut a guy loose. And really, they end up doing you a favor. Like Lou Lamoriello with Ray Shiro, same thing. And they're not looking for any compensation. I mean, they did the Penguins a favor. He was still on their books. They take him off their books. They pay him. Why should they have to give them anything else? It's kind of ridiculous. We'll see how it plays out here with the Oilers, but the whole thing is pretty silly.
Yeah, we'll see if it changes in the future. All teams agreed to the rules, so they knew what it was. But it definitely is rather odd for sure. Looking at a few other things last night, Washington over New York, really, you know, a close game that basically gets decided on a lucky goal that bounces in off a guy on a wraparound. And, you know, that's how tight that series has been. And I get the sense that, you know, this might be the Capitals' year to get to the Eastern Conference Final.
Yeah, you know, I've been so big on the Rangers here the whole way, but then you watch, and I saw a big chunk of that game last night. Boy, the Capitals are just they're the way they're able to lock it down, and the way, I mean, it's such a low scoring series so far, right? I mean, that Backstrom is just an awesome player. I mean, he does so many things for them, and the way he goes about his business, he's just come so far in his career. And he's just, I mean, he and Ovechkin is a 1-2 punch. It's lights out. It's better than anything that the Rangers have. So we'll see. And looking like Washington, I'm still not ready to give up on Lundqvist and that Rangers decor, but in these low scoring affairs, the Caps are finding ways to squeak them out.
Well, yeah, they are. This one's got 7 games written all over it, but in a lucky break, all of a sudden it changes. Quickly focusing, you're in Calgary, of course, the Flames taking on the Ducks, and obviously Calgary in a must-win situation. Is there anything, like, how can they attack Anaheim and be successful?
Well, I don't know that they're going to be able to. I mean, Anaheim, there's 2 things. One, Anaheim has more experience. I mean, there's just nothing the Flames can do about that other than let their kids play and let them get that experience. There was a time when Perry and Getzlaff, I think when they were really young, if I remember correctly, they went, I think they got into the second round before they were eliminated. I think when they were like 21 years old, something like that. And then the next year, I think they won the cup. So they got that experience, and that's what the Flames young players are getting now. And you just can't make up for that. You can't replace it. They have to go through it. And that's what's happening right now. So that's the one thing. The other thing is, and more to your point, the Flames D is just too small and Anaheim's attack is just too big. It's just a bad mismatch. And so I just don't see how that gets any better. I mean, the Flames are putting in Diaz tonight, you know, another small defenseman goes into the lineup.
Who's coming out?
What's that?
Who's coming out?
I believe Wotherspoon is coming out tonight. Okay. So, you know, just another small body. So, honestly, I don't know if they can, but they got to just let it happen. Their kids have to realize that they can play in these games against these veteran guys. They can compete. It's okay. Like, get after them. And I think they've been a little bit wide-eyed. Hartley admitted that the young guys were a little wide-eyed the first game and a half, and they need to realize they got to engage or they're not going to be able to do it. They're counting on young players, and they're doing this for the first time, and it just goes to show how much of a learning curve it actually is. I mean, they've got their young guys have more playoff experience than any of the older young players do now.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, that's a huge advantage. And really, when you look at the Calgary Flames, the only UFAs they have are, of any note, really, I would say, is Kari Ramo. What are you hearing on that front? Do you think he re-signs?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they'll re-sign him or not. They've still got, Hiller another year at 4.5. They've got Ordeo coming. So I don't know where Ramo fits. I think the sense is, I mean, Ordeo's a 23-year-old netminder. Hiller's getting a little bit older, but I don't know that they'll fit Ramo because I think, you know, he's going to need a one-way deal. And if Joni Ordeo is coming, then, you know, he maybe looks to be the backup next season. So I'm not sure, but I do know teams would probably have some interest in Ramo, and we'll see how he plays here. Was real strong for him last game. I don't know that he's a full-on starter. I don't know if he's that guy you go get and say, oh, this guy might be the next starter. We just might have it here. I don't think he's that caliber. I was talking to someone really close to it, following it very closely, that works in the league and, sort of said, I don't know if he's that guy. The sense is he's not necessarily a starter in the making. Now that could be someone being hard on him, but we'll see how he does here when the heat gets turned up even more.
It's interesting that, you know, they make it's goaltending, man, from year to year. I have no idea if he's a starter unless he's proven, right? It's really hard to tell.
No, for sure. And a guy needs to get the opportunity. He needs to be given an opportunity with the right team in front of him. And it's hard to really know. I mean, I'm sure that there have been a lot of guys that could have been top end goaltenders in the league who, the timing was never right. They never got the right opportunity combined with the right team in front of them, and and the opportunity just slips away. So Ramo's got some good opportunity here. He's going to start. He's going to play. Heading into unrestricted free agency, put up a good fight last game. So we'll see what he's got in him here. But you know, he kept him in it last game. He was the reason it wasn't 4-5-0 after the first period. So I think he's turning some heads. Hiller's dropped the ball a couple times now, so it's to me it's Ramos to see what he can do with it.
Jagger, enjoy the game tonight.
Will do, buddy. Should be a good one.
You bet. Ryan Rashog, that's the Rashog Report.